We started a series a couple of weeks ago called Deeply Formed, and we're looking at some spiritual practices. And so because I love irony so much, the practice we're going to talk about today on Mother's Day is Sabbath. And some of the moms are like, come on, preach it. I'm happy to do that. Will you tell somebody else in my family, please? We're going to talk about that practice today. It was a normal November morning in the fall of 1994, and the president of Harvard University, Neil Rudenstein, overslept. And that was kind of alarming because he was a perfectionist. He didn't miss meetings. There was a big fundraising campaign going on, and everyone was worried because, well, this is just a guy who doesn't oversleep. But, you know, the night before, the whole day before, well, it was a 12-hour day, and then there was dinner with the boosters and a lot of handshaking and a late-night dinner event. So it had just been a really long day. But as he tried to get out of bed that morning, and as he began to get medical attention and people realized something was wrong, they discovered he had just collapsed. And his incident made the cover of Newsweek magazine, and literally the headline was exhausted. Like, that's not the way you want to show up on a national magazine. But the magazine highlighted his story and the stories of others, maybe prominent, some less prominent, people who were just absolutely exhausted, and the effects it was having on them. In fact, President Rudenstein had to take a 3-month sabbatical to recover from his season of overwork. I don't think things have gotten a lot better since 1994 when it comes to our work-life balance and how healthy we are about resting when we need to. There are some alarming statistics that I've read, and you're going to feel them in your gut when I read them to you. Can you imagine working all year and taking less than 1 week off? That's life for over a third of us. That means a third of us take less time off than many people get for jury duty. No one on earth takes shorter paid vacations than Americans. Are you working regularly over 55 hours a week? Well, you might be increasing your earnings, but you're definitely increasing your stroke risk by over a third. My question for you this morning, does anyone think that we're doing this right? Does anyone think that our hustle culture is a sustainable way forward? I've come to think that boasting about overwork is just a national pastime. It's what we do. When someone asks you how you're doing, what is one of the top three things you might say to them? Busy. So there's an ad I want to play for you in just a minute. I want you to check out this ad. It's from about 10 years ago. It's an auto ad. And just listen to the message of the ad and see what you think about it. Let's play that ad.
Why do we work so hard? For what? For this? For stuff? Other countries, they work, they stroll home, they stop by the cafe, they take August off. Off. Why aren't you like that? Why aren't we like that? Because we're crazy-driven, hard-working believers, that's why. Those other countries think we're nuts. Whatever. We're the Wright brothers insane. Bill Gates, Les Paul, Ali. Were we nuts when we pointed to the moon? That's right. We went up there. You know what we got? Bored. So we left. Got a car up there, left the keys in it. You know why? Because we're the only ones going back up there. That's why. But I digress. It's pretty simple. You work hard, you create your own luck, and you've got to believe anything is possible. As for all stuff, that's the upside of only taking 2 weeks off in August. Nespa.
Yeah, America, we're not like those wimps who take time off. Yeah, I don't think our physical and mental health outcomes are like them either. You know, France tried, by the way, in the late 18th century to increase productivity. They de-Christianized their calendar. They made a 10-day week instead of 7. Like, they literally went around and changed calendars so that people would work more. The experiment failed. Suicide rates increased and production decreased. And it's because humans are not made to work 9 days and rest 1. A seven-day week isn't just some human thing we made up. I think it's a reflection of God's brilliance and character. We Christians cannot give into a hustle culture that keeps producing bad outcomes and crowding out our availability for God and for God's people. So the question is, does our faith have anything to say about this predicament? Can your faith give you some structure to get off the hamster wheel? So I want to take us to Deuteronomy chapter 5 and see how long ago God set up a rhythm for us. In Deuteronomy chapter 5, it's the second telling of the Ten Commandments. It's after the people of Israel have come out of Egypt and they are getting ready to go into the new land, and Moses is reminding them of the rules and lifestyle they need to follow in order to be faithful to God in this new era. Here is the command: observe the Sabbath day by keeping it holy, as the Lord your God has commanded you. 6 days you shall labor and do your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work, neither you, nor your son or daughter, nor your male or female servant, nor your ox, your donkey, or any of your animals, nor any foreigner residing in your towns, so that your male and female servants may rest as you do. Remember that you were slaves in Egypt, and the Lord your God brought you out of there with a mighty hand and an outstretched arm. Therefore, the Lord your God has commanded you to observe the Sabbath day. So here's the thing to remember about this passage. He says to keep the Sabbath day holy, that means set apart. It's a Sabbath to the Lord. It's not just for you, it's part of your worship, your offering to God. And on this day, you don't work, but also the people in your household don't work, the people who work for you don't work, your animals don't work. No one works, right? Because if the people at the top of the org chart don't set the pattern, the people lower down can't follow it. And the rationale here is that you were slaves to Pharaoh. He's a hard-nosed production manager with inexhaustible schedules. And God is not a Pharaoh. You do not live under his rule anymore. That is the definition given in this second telling of the Ten Commandments. You don't live like that because you don't work for Pharaoh anymore. And God's not like that. So what is Sabbath? Let's talk about that for a moment. Rich Velotis, who wrote the book we're using for this sermon series, he defines Sabbath this way: a weekly 24-hour period of unhurried delight with no have-tos or ought-tos, resulting in deep rest and renewal. It has been a deeply rooted practice in one form or another for God's people throughout the centuries. Now, we could talk today about the how of a Sabbath. We could talk about tips and rules and practices for it. I actually don't think that's our main concern. I think we know how to rest if we decide we want to do it. And we don't want to get legalistic about what that should look like. I think our bigger question is, why would I do this, and do I really need to do this? Let me talk about a few objections that I think we have when we think about Sabbath. The first is very pragmatic. It just won't work. It will not work in our culture. And I get it that it's hard to think about whether it would work or not. But I don't think we do that for other things. I don't think we would look at, for instance, scripture about sexual ethics and say, well, that just doesn't work anymore. But on this one, we've just given in and said, there's no way it can work in our culture. It doesn't happen. I think, by the way, this is my hot take for the day. I think our hustle culture is just as much of a threat to Christianity as our sexual culture. There's another quiet objection we have for Sabbath, and I've felt this too. And I have known ministers who like to preach about Sabbath and silence and solitude a lot, and partly it's because they just don't do a lot of work. Like, they really seem into this, and you have the sneaking suspicion it's because they don't know how to get work done, and this is their justification. I got a lot of flaws. But I don't think lazy is often one of them. Like, I'm not a super contemplative person. You know this about me. So this is not me preaching so that I can just be lost in my thoughts all day and rest and be unavailable. That's not my motive for talking about the Sabbath. Okay. My work week probably looks a lot like yours, and I am just as much affected by hustle culture as you are. So that's not an objection I think we can look at today. This is not coming from a place of just trying not to work hard. I think our biggest objection, our question we might have is this still relevant? Is it still commanded? Are we supposed to follow this in any way? Let me give you a few points for that. This starts back in creation, as you know. The creation story, Genesis chapter 2. On the seventh day, God rested from all his work. Then he blessed the seventh day and made it holy. The Sabbath, the seventh day, now it's not called Sabbath here, but the seventh day, that's the only thing in this first creation story that's called holy. It is set apart. So we start there, we go then to the Ten Commandments. I read you the Deuteronomy version earlier, but even in the first version, in Exodus 20, the people are told to, there, remember the Sabbath. By the way, a funny story about this. In my first few months here, I was at some evening event on a Friday, just meeting people. It was, you know, close to sundown, and I met a man. He was a Jewish man, and he was, you know, enjoying the festivities. And I think he could probably see the questioning look on my face, like, aren't you not supposed to be out doing stuff on Friday night? And he said, well, you know, in the Ten Commandments, one time it says remember the Sabbath, and the other time it says observe the Sabbath, and I choose to remember the Sabbath. And I thought, okay, you join the club of people who use Scripture in interesting ways. I like that. Shows up in the Ten Commandments. But there the rationale is different. In Deuteronomy, you observe the Sabbath because God is not a Pharaoh. In Exodus, you observe the Sabbath because in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, and then he rested on the seventh day. So there it's rooted in the creation pattern. So the Old Testament stuff, we see them observing it here and there. Then Jesus shows up. Jesus gets in trouble often on the Sabbath because he's healing people or feeding people. And when people come to him and say, you are violating the Sabbath, his answer is not, oh no, I abolished that. His answer is, hey, the Sabbath is supposed to be good for humans. So what's better on the Sabbath, to heal someone or let them stay sick? To feed someone or let them stay hungry? Jesus does not say, the Sabbath is just this old thing. He says, no, no, it's relevant, but you're getting it wrong. Even in later Christianity, the Sabbath becomes more official. The Emperor Constantine makes it official in 321 AD. He enforces, at this point, Sunday, like as law. And there's a lot of good and bad about what happened with Constantine and making Christianity the official legal religion. But it just has carried through. And I think some of us in here might even remember times in recent decades. Like, how many of you remember ever going to a grocery store and certain sections being roped off? You couldn't buy certain things on Sundays. Remember that? There was still some cultural architecture around Sabbath in our era. And I think now there is no cultural architecture to support anything like Sabbath. There's no rhythms that we can fit into. Culture does not support it. Work has no boundaries. Sports and other extracurriculars don't work around the Sabbath. And we're worried that our kids' futures will be ruined if we don't overschedule everyone. There's no cultural support for taking regular rhythms of Sabbath. There are two extremes when we think about practicing Sabbath, and I don't think they're equal for us. One extreme is being very legalistic. You know, there are times when I remember being told of errors, you know, you can't play cards on the Sabbath. You know, there's certain things you can't do. We're going to legalize this, and this is what happened with Jesus. You know, you can't work, so that means healing someone. Well, that's ridiculous. So there are times and cultures who have taken this to a legalistic extreme. Like, there are things you can't do, and you're wrong, and you've got to practice it exactly this way. That has happened. I don't think that's our problem. The other extreme is sort of spiritualizing Sabbath. Well, you know, I practice Sabbath in my heart in my own way. What does that mean? Well, it just means I never rest. We have spiritualized this some. And even in the Sermon on the Mount, when Jesus is talking about the Old Covenant, and the new way. He doesn't do away with things. He often augments them. You've heard, don't murder. Don't even speak ill of someone. I have to believe that spiritualizing this into something that we don't even practice at all is not the way to go. I've heard people say things like, well, you know, the writer of Hebrews talks about, you know, there'll be a Sabbath rest for the people of God one day, which is kind of like saying, I'll rest when I'm dead. Well, you will. Sometimes that's too close to being true. You may rest when you're dead. You may rest when you get really sick. That's not a great plan, but often ignoring or spiritualizing rhythms of rest, that doesn't lead to great outcomes. That's the question I want to keep asking us today as we think about God's rhythm of Sabbath. How is our culture working out for us? How's this working out? We feel good about our life rhythms? One writer says, if we don't allow for a rhythm of rest in our overly busy lives, illness becomes our Sabbath. Our pneumonia, our cancer, our heart attack, our accidents create Sabbath for us. And he goes on to say in his chaplaincy work that he's talked to a lot of people who, once they get a very difficult diagnosis, have a strange reaction, which is to say something to him in private like, well, at least now I'll finally get some downtime. I had a colleague several years ago, and she had begun her sabbatical. She was going to take 2 months off, as we had on our staff at the time. And within 1 or 2 weeks, she was in the ER with cardiac problems. And they finally told her, they said, nothing's wrong with you, but your body does not know what to do with the adrenaline drop. You have been going so hard for so long that your body cannot handle not doing that. That is not a healthy spot for many of us to be in. And I want to say this to you as your minister who loves you very much and knows how our culture works. I don't think it works to work 80 hours, 90 hours, work 7 days a week, and then take 2 weeks off once a year to a luxury spot and be on your email the whole time. That's not good for us. That's not some legalistic mandate. I don't think that's the equivalent of resting well. Barbara Brown Taylor says, we've made an idol out of exhaustion. And I think that's true. We often brag about how busy we are, and I think it's odd that we've kind of desensitized ourselves to bragging about breaking one of the Ten Commandments. We'll say, you know, I'm just so busy, I haven't taken a day off in months. I mean, can you imagine saying something like, yeah, man, things were really stressful and I murdered someone, but I'm powering through. Well, I've done some adultery and coveting lately, but otherwise things are good. Sabbath is not just a self-help principle for living the good life. It is something that sets God's people apart, and it is a way to practice our faith that we claim to take seriously. The Sabbath is not just a self-help principle for a time of rest. Sabbath keeping is a way to resist a culture that does not support our faith or our rhythms of rest. When we think of it just as rest and renewal, we're selling it short. I think Sabbath keeping, in whatever form we decide to take it, it is a radical act of resistance against culture. Because one day a week, we take ourselves out of the rat race. And when we keep Sabbath in one form or another, we aren't just resting, we are resisting, and we are sending some messages. We are confessing some things. We are confessing three things in particular. I think we are resisting control. We are saying, I'm not in charge. And my time and everyone's time belongs to God. There are a lot of people who say that they want Christian values in society, but they don't seem to want to apply that to how we spend our time. And so when I resist control, I give up complete sovereignty over my time. I give up control of what other people think of me. I give up control of always having to stay on top of things. And I confess that God created and ordered and sustains the universe. And when I do that, it leads to a second act of resistance. I resist my own ego. It is very easy to begin to believe that the world depends upon me. That's not a good spot to be in. Jesus would often leave crowds who needed healing to go off and practice times of rest and prayer. And when we refuse to do that, it's almost like we're saying, look, Jesus, I know that these sick crowds can wait, but this slide deck can't. What place have we gotten ourselves into that we think that if we pull a little bit away, everything is going to fall apart? I have sometimes wanted to have an email signature during vacation that says, if you need something from me, if an emergency arises and you need to reach me, you have vastly overestimated the importance of my job. So I resist my ego. Third, I resist tying my worth to my output. Batman says something to Rachel in the first movie of the most recent trilogy. He says, it's not who I am underneath, it's what I do that defines me. Well, that's not great. What you do doesn't define you. And I want to say to all you busy people, your worth to God does not depend upon your output. Your worth to your brothers and sisters in Christ does not depend upon your productivity. When we celebrate Sabbath, we join generations of believers who set aside a day to remember that we are precious in God's sight, to remember that we are really loved, not because of what we produce. It's a scheduled weekly reminder that we are not what we do, but we are who we are loved by. So I want to give you this homework. It's a very simple ask. Try it once. Try it once. I think that's our best first step. I don't care if it's a Saturday. I don't care if it's a Sunday. I don't care if you've got a different rhythm and you need to pick a different time. I'm not here to be legalistic about this. I don't think we can just give up on a regular rhythm of rest. Plan out your day well. Make sure there's a clear start and an end. You can engage people. You don't have to be in silence and solitude. You can write some encouragement notes. You can expect some resistance from people around you. It's kind of like when you choose to eat healthy and you show up at a group meal and everybody's like, oh, come on, have the pie. And you know that's just envy speaking. They don't like it when you try to make a healthier choice in your life. And you will experience what you may know as the J curve, which is you get worse before you get better. Like if you want to do this, it's not going to be good for a while. But do something before you try to do everything. So I would close by leaving you with the advice from the sage counselor Winnie the Pooh, who says, don't underestimate the value of doing nothing, of just going along, listening to all the things you can't hear, and not bothering. This is not some legalistic mandate. I know for some of you, you work in a structure where you don't have full control of this. You wish you had some rhythms that were supported from the top. You are at the mercy of someone above you. But I will say for those of you who are in charge, you can set some healthier rhythms for people. You can use that schedule send feature on your email and text so that you, the boss, aren't sending emails and texts to people who work for you late at night. Because I don't care what you tell them, they're going to think they have to respond. Give people some rhythms. The main thing is, I don't think we can just ignore Sabbath. I'm not legalistic about how we do it. I just don't think our work culture, our hustle culture, is working out well for us. And no amount of tech or tools is going to make it better, because every time we have a great revolution, we just work more. So I want you to imagine looking forward to a time of delight each week in which you are reminded that you are deeply loved no matter your output. And I want you to imagine feeling like you don't have to run the world, that God's in charge and not you. What I want you to know is this: no matter what you do with Sabbath, your worth to God is not tied to your output or your productivity. Thanks be to God for that. Let's stand and sing.